And now your speaker in this lesson is Tim Canup.
Whenever anyone asks the question, "What must I do to be saved?" in order to obtain the correct answer, one must turn to God's Word. In looking at the Bible concerning God's plan for salvation, the grace of God is a part of our salvation, but salvation does not come by grace alone. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. In other words, all people have the opportunity to obtain salvation by the grace of God. Salvation comes by faith, both our personal faith in God and in Christ, and also the gospel system faith. However, salvation does not come at the moment of our personal faith. James 2 teaches that faith without works, works of obedience, is a dead faith. You see, it is by our faith that we have the confidence to respond in obedience to the commandments given in the New Testament. It is by our faith that we obey the command to repent of our sins, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. And we obey the command to confess Jesus as the Christ, Matthew 10 verses 32 and 33. Obedience to both of these commandments are necessary in order to obtain salvation. There's also another commandment that Jesus himself has given that must be obeyed in order to be saved. It is not something that is to be done because we have been saved. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." This morning, let us look at the subject of baptism to see what God has to say about it. Regardless of what man has to say, we must accept and only accept what God has said about it in His Word. Let me say, as we discuss this subject this morning, that we're not seeking to pick a fight or grind an axe or reflect poorly on the character of anyone who disagrees with us. We simply desire to see what the Bible teaches on this and any subject. We hope that you will either open your Bibles so that you can follow along with us. If it is the case that you cannot follow along now, we hope that you'll contact us and we'll send you a free copy of this lesson or any other lesson, so that you may listen at a more convenient time. If you have a question about something that we have said on this program this morning or at any other time, please feel free to contact us to discuss it with us. We're willing to kindly discuss any subject concerning religion with anyone who may have a question. We're not interested in arguing about matters of religion, but honestly and kindly discussing those things. Let's begin this morning by defining baptism. The word baptize is defined as to immerse, submerge, or overwhelm. Let us then ask some questions and see if we can learn more about the subject of baptism. What is baptism? Dear friends, it is a direct command given by our Lord. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we read, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, we read, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." Speaking by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Peter, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, commanded those on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now looking to Acts 22, Ananias commanded Saul of Tarsus, or the Apostle Paul, in Acts 22 and verse 16, "Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Some have argued that baptism is an outward sign of an inward faith. It is true that we must have faith in order to obey the commandments of God, and baptism certainly is a commandment of God. But it is not merely an act to demonstrate that we have already been saved. This is a point that we shall prove as we examine this subject this morning. We shall further discuss this point in just a moment. The next question we need to consider is, who is to be baptized? We must determine who is a proper candidate for baptism. By looking at the requirements given in the Bible, as well as the examples, we can come to an accurate conclusion about this. A proper candidate for baptism is, number one, one who has heard or been taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. Going back to Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Number two, a candidate for baptism is one who believes or has faith in Jesus the Christ. Hearing, in those who have a good and honest heart, Luke 8 and verse 15, hearing produces faith. This is exactly what Paul taught in Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the gospel. Faith, dear friends, is necessary. We have already pointed this out. It is our faith that motivates us to obey. Listen to the Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, without faith we will not truly obey the commandments God has given. Thus, we are not pleasing to Him. Number three, a candidate for baptism is one who has repented of their sin. In Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." In Athens, on Mars Hill, Paul said in Acts 17 and verse 30, "The times of this ignorance God winked at or overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." A proper candidate is one who is willing to confess Jesus as the Christ. To confess Jesus as the Christ literally means to say the same thing that He says. When we confess Christ, we are saying the same thing that He says about His church and about the terms of entrance into it. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." We have an example of this in the conversion process in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. The eunuch from Ethiopia said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." These are the requirements set forth in the Bible. Notice, the things required is hearing the gospel or understanding what God would require of us, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting or turning from our sins, and confessing that Jesus is the Christ. All these things are involved in being a candidate for baptism. The question then demands to be answered, why then do some baptize infants? An infant cannot possibly hear to the point of producing faith. They have no sins to be repented of, and I've never known an infant who could confess that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Dear friends, the truth is, those who practice infant baptism are doing so without the authority of God. Let us next ask, where is one to be baptized? By this, we are not speaking of a geographical location. The answer to this is easily found in the Scriptures. John chapter 3 and verse 23. There we read, "And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there." Baptism must be where there is much water. How much water? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 38, Philip commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. There's enough water here for at least two individuals to go down into the water. Let us now ask, how is a person to be baptized? We are speaking of the mode of baptism. It is important for us to understand that we must be baptized correctly in order for it to be right with God. The mode is seen in the action of the term. You see, baptize means to immerse. In Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized In this passage, we can see that the person is to be baptized. Now, if we replace the term with its meaning, it should fit with no problems. If we replace baptized with sprinkled, he that believeth and is sprinkled, you see, that does not fit. You sprinkle water on a person, but you do not sprinkle the person. Thus, baptism cannot be by sprinkling. Now, if we use the word pour, he that believeth and is poured. Again, you cannot pour a person. You can pour water on the person, but that is not the command that Jesus gave. This does not fit. Now, let's use the word immerse for baptism. He that believeth and is immersed. You see, that fits. It is possible for us to immerse a person into water. Baptism is compared in the Bible to a burial. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, Paul said, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him, Christ, from the dead." In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Dear friends, it would be silly for us to go out to the graveside of a loved one and sprinkle or pour a little dirt on them and say that we've buried them. We would completely submerge that loved one into the ground. This fits the description in the New Testament that those who were baptized went down into the water. They were buried. Finally, let us ask, why are we to be baptized? This is a very important question. Again, it's important for us to understand that the reason for our baptism is as important as being baptized. Some have been baptized because they believe they have already been saved. In other words, they have done it as a demonstration of salvation. Dear friends, I'm not saying these things in order to stir up trouble or make anyone mad. I simply want to show you what the Bible teaches on this important subject. In Acts chapter 19, Paul came in contact with some men in Ephesus that had been baptized in John's baptism, which by this time was no longer in effect. Acts chapter 19, verses 3 through 5. "And he," Paul, "said to them, unto what then were ye baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then, said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized," watch, "in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now let's go to Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Let's notice Jesus' statement here concerning baptism. Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." First notice the command, "He that believeth and is baptized." These two things, believeth and baptism, are linked together with the coordinating conjunction "and," which links two equally important things together. Dear friends, Jesus did not say, "He that believeth and is saved shall be baptized." Yet, dear friends, this is exactly what many people are teaching in our world today. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Some then argue that in the last phrase of the verse, since Jesus did not link "and is not baptized" with "believeth not," then it's not essential. Dear friends, this simply is faulty reasoning. Let me illustrate this to you. If I were to say to you, "He that eats and digests his food shall live, but he that eats not shall die." You see, in this illustration, eating and digesting are both essential to living. It would not be necessary for me to say, "He that eats not and digests not will die." It's obvious that he who does not eat does not have anything to digest. He that does not believe does not have any reason to be baptized. You see, these words are simple to understand. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. we are to be baptized, dear friends, in order to be saved. Now let us consider Peter's command in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Again, Peter connects repentance with baptism with the coordinating conjunction "and," which links two equally important parts together. In this particular passage, Peter tells us that we are to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which simply means by His authority, Matthew 28 and verse 18, for the remission of sins. What does this statement, "for the remission of sins," mean? Some have argued that the preposition "for" in this passage means "because of." Dear friends, this simply is not true. In all the instances that this preposition is used, it cannot be replaced with "because of" and make sense. Notice a couple of examples with me. Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus used the Greek word "eis," which is translated "for" in Acts 2:38. And He says, "For this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many," this is our word, "for the remission of sins." We cannot insert the word "because of the remission of sins," because Jesus did not shed His blood because we have already had the remission of sins. He shed His blood in order to, or for, the reason of obtaining the remission of our sins. Consider another passage with me, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. In this passage, Peter said, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that," this time the word "ace" is translated "that," here is our word, "repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." We cannot read this passage, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, because your sins may be blotted out." It simply does not fit. It does not make sense. Nowhere, none of the times that the word "ace" is used in the New Testament, can it be translated "because of," not even in Acts 2 and verse 38. In fact, in the Baptist Quarterly, in July of 1877, on pages 296 through 321, J.W. Wilmarth, a Baptist preacher, denied the possibility that "for" in Acts 2:38 could possibly mean "because of." Dear friends, we are baptized in order to obtain the forgiveness of our sins for salvation. Dear friends, that is what the Bible teaches. That is what God has to say on the subject of baptism. Consider with me in conclusion, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, where Paul said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Dear friends, salvation is in Christ Jesus. The question, therefore, is, how do we get into Christ? As we pointed out last week, nowhere in the Bible do you read that someone believes into Christ. However, in Galatians 3 and verse 27, Paul said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In Romans 6 and verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, Peter said, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." In a parenthetical statement, he said, "It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." In other words, it's not a physical washing, it's a spiritual washing. And this comes, as he said at the end of the verse, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, Peter said, by guidance of the Holy Spirit, "Baptism doth also now save us." In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, "Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Dear friends, if Saul had been saved from his sins by his faith on the road to Damascus, then why in Damascus did Ananias tell him to be baptized to wash away his sins? If he was saved, from what was he saved? Because in Damascus, he still had his sins. So many have misunderstood the command of baptism to think that it is the water that saves them. Dear friends, we are not teaching water salvation. Please be sure to understand that we are not nor have ever taught that water is what saves an individual. There's nothing special in the water. Dear friends, it is in the obedience to the command of God to be baptized into water that saves us. It is in obedience to the command to be baptized that we contact the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood that washes away our sins. Revelation 1 and verse 5. We hope that you will honestly consider what the Bible has to say about the subject of baptism. It is a very important subject, and a misunderstanding of the command to be baptized and a failure to obey the commandment as God has given it for the purpose that God has given it will result in one not obtaining the salvation that is needed to take away our sins.
Your speaker has been Tim Knupp.